Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 382. What is thy birthright, man, child of the perfect one? What is thy father's plan for his beloved son? Hymn number 382. Dale from Virginia will give the scriptural this morning.
Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One,
thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let us now sing hymn number 291. Quiet, Lord, my froward heart. Make me gentle, pure, and mild, upright, simple, free from art. Make me as a little child, from distrust and envy free, pleased with all that pleaseth thee. Hymn number 291. Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sundays here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, what it means to us, and as a result, it is an exceptional training session in practical Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning, so if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, please find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you'll also be able to find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available to children anywhere in the world that has a telephone. The Sunday school has its own dedicated teleconference number. Many of our students do not live in the area, but they attend via telephone. This means that if you don't live in the area but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend via telephone. Just call the church number. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school. And our Sunday school teachers would be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives made much better through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services and meetings, we have a nursery available for the infant service of infants and toddlers. So if you do come in person, you can bring the whole family. A reminder, we have scheduled the next corporate meeting for membership of our membership for Thursday, September 18. That'll be 8 p.m., Thursday, September 18, membership meeting. And for the members who cannot attend in person, the meeting will be available through the regular church phone number. There will be, that'll start at 8 p.m., and that Thursday, we will not have a 9 p.m. watch, but we will have a 10 p.m. watch. The mission of our church is carried out largely through 21 different websites in 21 different languages. As a result of that, people around the world are finding the healing power, the healing truth of Christian Science in their own language. And for that, we are very grateful. And everything that is available on our websites is free of charge. Freely we have received, and freely we do give. I would like to point out an article that's now featured on our English language website. That article is entitled "The Nature of God and Man" by Herbert Eustace. Excellent short article, but really good. I recommend it highly. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will now be given by Tom from Iowa.
Page 693, Desire for Liquor and Tobacco Disappeared. I first heard of Christian Science 4 years ago. At that time, drinking and smoking were my comforters. I had no other companionship. I lived almost constantly from childhood in an evil atmosphere. Though I was far from being satisfied with my condition, I failed to see how to better it until I read Science and Health. I used occasionally to listen to a sermon, but sermons do not give me any more comfort than I derive from my pipe. Hence, I concluded that church going could not satisfy me, and I prefer drinking and smoking. When I began to read Science and Health, I saw it offered something substantial. After a few months' study, all desire for drinking and smoking disappeared. I did not give them up. I made no sacrifices. I simply found something better. I might mention that I smoked ever since I can remember. I used to smoke years before I left school and, like most Englishmen, loved my pipe and would almost prefer to miss a meal rather than to go without my smoke. I used to think it gave me comfort. During my 4 years study of Christian Science, I have not spent a cent for doctors or medicine. Neither have I lost a day for my work on account of sickness, which compares wonderfully with the previous 4 years. I take a great interest and pleasure in reading the Bible and studying the lessons in the quarterly. The Bible used to be a most mysterious book to me, but Science and Health makes it a most precious book, making its meaning clearer, plainer, and simpler. I take this opportunity to express my gratitude to Mrs. Eddy and to the friend who invited me to attend the service held in the auditorium years ago. I also wish to acknowledge the benefit I have had from the Journal and the Sentinel. They have helped me wonderfully. If the value of Science and Health in these publications were measured as businessmen value things by the results or blessings they bring, they certainly would be priceless to me. It would be impossible to measure their value, as I have got something from Science and Health that all the money in the world could not buy. HPH, Chicago, Illinois.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 20 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, man. The golden text, Hebrews. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The responsive reading is from Psalms. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness.
Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth.
For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life.
But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God.
Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous.
Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men.
Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Craig will now read.
The Bible, Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Exodus. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Luke. It came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. Mark. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Mark, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the city, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Hebrew. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him a figure. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Second Corinthians. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Elizabeth from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages. From Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Our Master's first article of faith propounded to his students was healing, and he proved his faith by his works. The ancient Christians were healers. Why has this element of Christianity been lost? Because our systems of religion are governed more or less by our systems of medicine. The first idolatry was faith in matter. The schools have rendered faith in drugs a fashion. rather than faith in deity. If we are Christians on all moral questions, but are in darkness as to the physical exemption which Christianity includes, then we must have more faith in God on this subject and be more alive to his promises. The history of Christianity furnishes sublime proofs of the supporting influence and protecting power bestowed on man by his Heavenly Father, omnipotent mind, who gives man faith and understanding whereby to defend himself not only from temptation, but from bodily suffering. Life, truth, and love are the realities of divine science. They dawn in faith and glow full-orbed in spiritual understanding. As a cloud hides the sun it cannot extinguish, so false belief silences for a while the voice of immutable harmony. But false belief cannot destroy science armed with faith, hope, and fruition. Material medicine substitutes drugs for the power of God, even the might of mind, to heal the body. Scholasticism clings for salvation to the person instead of to the divine principle of the man Jesus, and his science, the curative agent of God, is silence. Why? Because truth divests material drugs of their imaginary power and clothes spirit with supremacy. Science is the stranger that is within thy gates, remembered not even when its elevating effects practically prove its divine origin and efficacy. Divine science derives its sanction from the Bible, and the divine origin of science is demonstrated through the holy influence of truth in healing sickness and sin. This healing power of truth must have been far anterior to the period in which Jesus lived. It is as ancient as the Ancient of Days. It lives through all life and extends throughout all space. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Because truth is infinite, error should be known as nothing. Because truth is omnipotent in goodness, error, truth's opposite, has no might. Evil is but the counterpoise of nothingness. The greatest wrong is but a supposititious opposite of the highest right. The confidence inspired by science lies in the fact that truth is real and error is unreal. Error is a coward before truth. Divine science insists that time will prove all this. Both truth and error have come nearer than ever before to the apprehension of mortals, and truth will become still clearer as error is self-destroyed. Against the fatal beliefs that error is as real as truth, that evil is equal in power to good, if not superior, and that discord is as normal as harmony, even the hope of freedom from the bondage of sickness and sin has little inspiration to nerve endeavor. When we come to have more faith in the truth of being than we have in error, more faith in spirit than in matter, more faith in living than in dying, more faith in God than in man, then no material suppositions can prevent us from healing the sick and destroying error. God has built a higher platform of human rights, and He has built it on diviner claims. These claims are not made through code or creed, but in demonstration of on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Human codes, scholastic theology, material medicine and hygiene, better faith and spiritual understanding. Divine science rends asunder these fetters, and man's birthright of soul allegiance to his Maker asserts itself. I saw before me the sick, wearing out years of servitude to an unreal master, in the belief that the body governed them rather than mind. The lame, the deaf, the dumb, the blind, the sick, the sensual, the sinner, I wish to save from the slavery of their own beliefs and from the educational systems of the pharaohs, who today, as of yore, hold the children of Israel in bondage. I saw before me the awful conflict, the Red Sea and the wilderness, but I pressed on through faith in God, trusting truth, the strong deliverer, to guide me into the land of Christian science, where fetters fall and the rights of man are fully known and acknowledged. You will learn that in Christian science, the first duty is to obey God, to have one mind, and to love another as yourself. God creates and governs the universe, including man. The universe is filled with spiritual ideas, which he evolves, and they are obedient to the mind that makes them. Mortal mind would transform the spiritual into the material, and then recover man's original self in order to escape from the mortality of this error. Mortals are not like immortals, created in God's own image. But infinite spirit being all, mortal consciousness will at last yield to the scientific fact and disappear, and the real sense of being, perfect and forever intact, will appear. Faith should enlarge its borders and strengthen its base by resting upon spirit instead of matter. We must have faith in all the sayings of our Master.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 105. Help us to help each other, Lord, each other's cross to bear. Let each his friendly aid afford and feel his brother's care. Hymn number 105.
Thank you.
Let's wipe the tears from our eyes and sing hymn number 121. How blessed are they whose hearts are pure, from guile their thoughts are free. To them shall God reveal himself, they shall his glory see. Hymn number 121.
From the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal air. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Romans. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.